is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, welcome. I'm your host for this hour. My name is Eli Maya Hoshotara. And we're going to do a little bit of reading today. Woohoo! So let's see here. I'm just going to see what the Spirit wants to put out as a message for today. Hold on. It's a little slow in the upper connections today. So just give me a moment to check in here. Oh, interesting. Nope, go right to the mailbag. Alrighty then. So you can write into newsforthesoul.com and just put my name on it. And you can do that and send in your questions, or you can call into the show. If you don't have a pen handy, you can go to newsforthesoul.com and find our number there. You can call in. If you do have a pen handy or you've opened up your phone, 1-646-595-4274. Again, that's 1-646-595-4274. You can call into the show that way. So let's start off with mailbag today here and see what's going on. We have Lorena in New Zealand, and she's been contemplating a major move, possibly to either the U.S. or the U.K. Do I see which option might be better for her? So one moment here, Lorraine in New Zealand. Okay, definitely the U.S., wherever I get you going in there, it's just really more melancholy of a prospect. It's like things aren't going to be working so well. You're trying, but it just keeps feeling like, oh, things aren't really working. Let's see the UK here. So you do seem to be doing better in warmer climates. So I see that, like New Zealand, I can see why you'd want to leave. It's not feeling quite as good as I would like to see you feeling about living there. But I do have to say that New Zealand looks better for you than the U.S., just to be clear. Let's see the U.K. here. So one of the problems, Lorraine, is that I keep saying that you have an issue with being able to connect to your environment. And I'm not saying, like, you can't connect to the spirit of it, because I can see you – hold on here. Because sometimes I can see you doing that, but there seems to be a blockage. And I see that sometimes in people who've had a lot of emotional trauma. Sometimes you can see that in people who've been I've seen that cleared up with body work. So I've seen people get that cleared up with visceral manipulation, neural manipulations, and those sort of things, because there are definitely blockages that stop people from being able to really engage with their environment, you know, talk to people, feel the connection between them and other people. And what happens is, because they can't get that out of the environment, and this is really isn't talked about very much. In fact, I'm the only one that I know of that talks about that, so hey, go me. basically what happens is, you see people that they're trying to make that happen and they can't, and they just can't do it. And when people just can't do it, of course, you know, you could put them in environment and after environment and they just can't do it. So even if you have an environment that would be good for them, if they had the capability to do it, which I have seen people have an increase in their capability to do it with trauma release, that includes physical. If there's been like a lot of emotional you know, hardship over the years as well, then that would be a good thing to talk to a somatic practitioner, because when people are in that position, I understand why it feels like, you know, it's the environment, because, I mean, you're surrounded by the environment, you're not being well received, or things aren't working as well. It's, you know, because you're looking outwards and you're just feeling impact from outside of you, it can be very hard to say, like, okay, wait, I'm the one who is having the problem, excuse me. Although I've definitely seen people who've recognized that they've had an ability to, they don't have an ability to connect, but because it's so rarely talked about, which is one of the reasons why I talk about it, because there is something that can be done so that you're actually able to function that way. Because otherwise, it's kind of like trying to say to somebody, you know, they don't have the capability to swim. You stick them in one ocean while they still can't swim. While you stick them in another ocean while they still can't swim. While you stick them in a lake while they still can't swim. If a lake is, you know, shallow enough and they stick them in the shallow part of the lake, then, you know, okay, that can work because they can at least walk. So maybe it can seem sometimes like, you know, they can do it. It's not like they have a complete lack of capability, but if you put them into the same depth of the ocean where they can't swim, they can't survive, they'd be kind of hooped. And it's the same thing, just a different format. And, of course, we understand that if you have swimming skills, obviously you'd be able to swim. If you have a capability to be able to engage with other people, then obviously you'd be able to do that. When people don't have that, sometimes they don't understand how much it can actually work for them, or things can actually change. And I can actually see, you know, a lot of stubbornness, you know, sort of like disbelief, it doesn't work. Those sorts of things tend to happen, and it doesn't change anything, but it's like trying to convince somebody who, you know, needs to learn how to swim that they can swim and that they have the capability of it. And of course, I mean, you've had experience dealing with other people where you're trying to give them advice. You know what you're talking about. You know that, and we're not talking about your resistance to what I'm saying, but we're talking about you're dealing with other people where you're trying to give them good advice, and they just don't want to take it, and they have all sorts of resistances come up. It's not me, it's you, and, you know, it's not them, it's the other people. And I want you to take somebody that you really don't like. You don't like them, you know, and you just, oh, they're complaining to you, and they're saying, you know, well, it's the other people, and you're like, you know, you just get in that moment, you know what the solution to the problem would be, because I know you've had that experience. You know that if they fixed it, people would probably like them better. You know, you would like them better. You know that even if you don't want to hang out with them, you could at least, it would be easier to, if you go to a house party and they're in the same house, if you go to a dinner party or something and they're there, you'd at least be able to tolerate being in the same room as them, even if you didn't want to hang out with them. And in some cases, you know that you could hang out with them in a group and be okay with that, if they have that cleaned up enough, even when if you wouldn't want to engage with them. And in some cases, you know, if it gets cleaned up enough, again, depending, you know, on how much responsibility it takes, the reason that interdependent people could get along with other people is because they're actually fine and okay inside, and the blockage that connects you from being able to connect with other people, when that issue is there, there can also be other issues that stop people from being able to be fine in environments where other people are there that they really don't like. And so it becomes very stressful to be in an environment when that person shows up, even if they're not talking to you. And I'm not going to say that that's always going to happen right across the board, that you're automatically going to be okay with every single person you don't like showing up at the house. But for the dinner party, but there will be an increase, just like now, there will be some environments you don't talk to people, you don't even think about it, you're just not talking to them, you don't have a grudge against them, you don't hate them, they're not really twinging off your warning signs or anything else, you're just there at a networking event, for example, and you're just not talking to them because you just don't think twice about it. And that is one thing that happens when people have the capability, because they have enough of their traumas resolved, and this is not something you could just talk yourself out of, which is why it doesn't work, even though people try really, really hard to just make themselves be okay with situations that they're not, when those issues are there, to some degree you can work certain things out by processing them, verbally, and in some cases you need specific processes to be done to you, which would be talking to a somatic therapist and those sorts of things. Some people, I get it, they're scared of really going to therapists, they're scared of diagnosis, they're scared of medication. And the one thing that I will say about that is that when you're dealing with trauma therapy, while everybody can have their prejudices, of course, somatic therapy tends to understand and can see the resolution from what happens when you release the trauma. So it's not necessarily as much of a, it's not always going to be necessarily automatically, you know, some sort of diagnosis that people think is going to be madly happening to them, because there's a different understanding. Because for, you know, in somatic treatment, and I can't say this all across the board for every somatic modality that's out there, but if you look at, like, for example, Peter Levine, I forget if it was Peter Levine. Peter Levine, his work tends to be more reasonable about it. It was Peter Levine, or else it was Jean-Pierre Barral, and he deals with the visceral manipulations. One of them had said that, you know, basically mental health issues, all mental health comes from nervous system issues. And when you're going to get nervous system issues, you know, sometimes people get a little freaked about it because, you know, that there's like some big bad, you know, medical diagnosis that's coming down that automatically makes you crazy. And some people, that is their self-defense mechanism, that, you know, anytime there's something gone wrong, even when it comes from trauma, they're automatically, you know, slashing and dicing the person. Ew, toxic, ew, crazy, woo! You know, and that's actually a really good example when you get people who are actually doing that, that they're actually maybe doing some of the same things where they're having the problems that may get them the mental health diagnosis in some cases, which is really interesting. You know, because sometimes if people have the diagnosis, they want to make other people have the diagnosis, and then they're, you know, stuck on their, you know, on the list of you know, how to define mental health issues, or really, like, you know, diagnosing everybody under the sun. But some of those things are just, you know, they're your fight and flight response that are going to screw things up. Sometimes it's just neural manipulation understands better the effects on the body, because there is very definite a mind-body connection between whether you're going to heal and be able to have certain capabilities or whether you're not. And when there is trauma, the body and the brain have an ability to bounce back better than used to be considered or realized, but additionally better than some people want to admit to, because it's part of their self-defense mechanism to call everybody else, ooh, crazy, you know, just because there's very real physical issues. Like, for example, if you're very cranky because you broke a leg and it hasn't been resolved, you're still in a lot of pain, the leg's not healing properly, you're getting crankier and crankier and crankier, you know, does that mean, ooh, you're automatically an abusive and toxic person? Ooh, you're crazy. You know, does it automatically mean all that? Well, no, we would understand that. And that's pretty easy to understand even without knowing why, when you have a broken leg or where there's pain, a lot of physical pain, sometimes you're going to get crankier. And that can be because, you know, physical pain can really sap your serotonin. So it can be important to supplement with things that can help your serotonin come back. One of the things is tryptophan. Tryptophan, hardcore psychiatric drug. No, actually, it's an amino acid. It's that thing in turkey that makes people want to go. After they eat a big turkey dinner, they get tired and they get sleepy. And it really makes a great sleeping supplement. And that can actually help people who have a lot of physical pain. I'm not going to say it's going to cure everything. You know, it may not take away some of the physical pain, but it can help with the mood, because the way that it affects serotonin and the way your serotonin gets affected when you have physical pain. And these are just, you know, your body uses up certain nutrients when you have certain thinking processes. If you're a really big thinker, there's certain vitamin Bs that you really need to make sure that you supplement with if you tend to read a lot of books, because certain processes will use up certain vitamins in the body. We understand this. And, or, you know, or certain nutrients. We understand this, You know, if you go for a run, you know you need to refuel. If you exercise a lot, you know you need to refuel. So we understand that physically, but some people don't even want to admit that. You know, they run 10 miles a day and they think all they're allowed is an apple, and they should be fine. And we understand that if somebody's running 10 miles a day and all of it eating an apple, we understand there's something wrong with the fact that they don't understand that they're going to need more nutrients than that, than one apple. We understand that. But we also understand that, you know, for people who actually, you know, have an actual understanding of how this stuff works, a deeper understanding, you know that certain nutrients or lack of are going to affect things. Lithium is on your table of elements. You know, it's also a hardcore psychiatric drug. Boom, boom, boom. And they're not exactly the same thing because lithium is a psychiatric drug, and I've said this a lot, is, you know, the stuff that's coming up out of the ground and it's been twisted to all frick. So it's like saying, you know, getting like those fruit gummies is the same thing as eating real fruit. Well, they may have some fruit juice or some fruit flavor in them if you get, quote unquote, the healthy ones, but it's definitely not the same thing as a piece of fruit. And lithium, the psychiatric drug, is therefore not the same as lithium supplement, but lithium, the supplement, is really great for, they use it for treatment for mood disorders, including the supplement. Sometimes people use the supplement instead of the hardcore psychiatric drug. I'm not saying that you have to do that. You should do that. It's okay to do that. it really depends on, you know, what's going on. You have to talk to somebody who's open to that, who can make those recommendations or whatever else. I can't do that. It's not my modality. So I can't say, like, absolutely, you could do that and it'd be just fine. but what I will say is that there are people who are open to using lithium supplement as opposed to lithium psychiatric drug in certain cases. And additionally, lithium, because it's something that does come up in your fruits and vegetables. So it is, you know, it's got kind of a really bad wrap here because, again, it's the self-defense people. You need lithium. Ooh, crazy, crazy, crazy. Again, it's just a supplement, right? It's just something that comes up in your fruits and vegetables. But when that's lacking, you're going to be getting side effects from the lack. We understand this with magnesium. A lot of people, Dr. Holly, she's on Wednesdays. we understand that a lack of magnesium, a lot of people believe that a lack of magnesium creates a lot of physical health issues, right? Like there's a lot of disease or a lot of health issues that can be attributed to a lack of magnesium. Dr. Holly talks about that quite a bit. So, and she's got booklets on it that you can buy on her website. So, you know, are you crazy or mad because you don't have enough magnesium? No, we obviously understand that. People have a harder time understanding that with lithium because it's been used as a psychiatric drug. But we understand that when people have had scurvy in years past, it's because they've had a lack of vitamin C. So are you a bad person or wrong just because you're lacking vitamin C? No, obviously we understand that. But we understand that because it's naturally understood and accepted. And it's the same thing with lithium. What's the point of taking lithium? Lithium helps with mood swings. So again, you know, some people are going to take that to go right back to the, ooh, crazy aspects of it. But, you know, when you've got young teenage girls, you know, they're really laying there now. I mean, I know so many people with teenage daughters or, you know, friends or relatives or whatever. And these young women are just like laying in there in bed whimpering for like days on end and they can't come out. And it's so hard. The pain is so severe. You know, if you're a female, I call it oogie tummy, right? When you got like that monthly tummy, oogie tummy, there's back pain. And there's a lot of things that come associated with it that really shouldn't be there. And that lithium, the supplement, when you're lacking in it, will become worse. And so you can have a woman who's, you know, at the monthly time who's has enough lithium in her diet, either because she supplements or she lives in a country where the lithium is coming up into the plant as nature intended, and she's eating enough of those plants, she's not going to have, even if it's not the most comfortable thing in the world, you know, there may still be exhaustion or whatever, but it's from iron loss or whatever, but it's not going to be the same thing to the same degree as somebody who is, you know, whimpering and they've got achy tummy, so they feel really sick from it. You know, they've got the back pain that only comes during that time of the month, and it really takes that down, as well as mood issues with PMS. So the crankiness can go down. And again, it's a supplement that comes up. Same with vitamin C with scurvy. So these things that people have resistance to, they're really just natural ways that the human being works, including when there's trauma. So if you break a leg, obviously you're going to have pain. That would be, you know, a trauma to your leg. So there's obviously going to be certain side effects of it. And people are not wrong for having a broken leg. You know, maybe they did something silly, okay, clean the silly thing up. But, you know, you still need to fix a broken leg. We generally understand that. And that includes when people are having an issue with being able to engage in their environment and have that actually work for them. It's the same thing. It's just in a different format. And because people aren't yet aware, which is part of the reason why I say this so much, so that there's a PSA about it, when people have that capability and there's something that they absolutely can get back and they're not bad for having it, it's just a natural side effect of certain traumas. When that happens and it comes back, then you have a greater capability to be able to go in different places. So if I look at, you know, you in the U.S., you do better in the U.S., but the U.S. is still not what I still wouldn't say, like, that would be something that's going to be a place that you would want to move to. New York seems like it would be better, but it would still be like a lot of like really trying hard to make connections. And there are places that are going to be better for certain people than others, obviously. So the U.S. just doesn't really look like it's something that you're going to really, really enjoy. And sometimes you can enjoy a place when you go visit there, but you can't live there because it doesn't support your energies. With you, with having that, you know, the issue resolved, if I put you in the U.K., you're going to want more warmth than, you know, emotional warmth, physical warmth, than you would want, than you're going to be getting in England. Let's see, put you in Spain. Nope, not Spain. So you could have some good times in France. It would be less as supportive of your spirit as it could be. Basically, you really, you know, New Zealand, why is New Zealand wonderful? The warm weather, right? And the warmth. Sometimes in warmer environments, you find that people are also more hearted and more open and more warm. And some places are really, you know, not. Let's see here. Hold on. So, Lorraine, basically, what I'm seeing right now is, well, I can understand why you want to move from New Zealand. Whenever, like, I've checked South America, I've checked Central America. I can't, you know, I've checked Canada, even though you didn't ask. And if you're like, no, Canada, I've heard people say that. I agree. I'm from Canada. I know some very lovely people here. It's just, I find, I like other people in other environments too, to put it politely. But basically what happens is I keep seeing that there's still going to be, you know, things that you're going to have to work out. And until those things work out, you can get better than New Zealand, but it's still not going to be probably what you're looking for in terms of happiness that you're going to be having internally in terms of what you can achieve. And that's even, you know, you get the inability to connect, you get that resolved, there's still other work to be done. So are there other places that would be better for you than New Zealand? Absolutely. A lot of places are going to be better for you than New Zealand. It's just not making a huge difference where you're going versus not, because most of them are just going to be better for you than New Zealand. But the U.S. is definitely, you know, not one of those places. Let's see where else. Yeah, like, you know, Africa, surprisingly, Africa actually feels a little bit better. But of course, you know, there's, you know, I see also like you kind of hiding out, which, you know, would be understandable for safety reasons. But at the same time, like, at the same time, I could kind of get you being a little bit happier and more vibrant there. So just to give you an idea, you know, I'm not saying that you should move to a place that's dangerous. Far from saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, like, there are other things, and sometimes, you know, we tend to think it's, like, it's going to be the other place that's going to solve it, and you can resolve enough problems and still decide to leave New Zealand because it seems a lot more harder core for you, negative than some other places. The chances are that you're going to want to leave New Zealand are still pretty excellent, quite frankly. It's just that you're probably not going to be getting what it is that you want or think you need to the degree that you want or think you're going to be needing it. So, like, you know, for example, Russia, you know, I could see being happier initially in Russia and actually getting some, you know, internal fuel off that. But then there's, you know, of course, obvious issues with living in Russia. And so this happens, you know, like time and time again. And quite frankly, I would need to take a globe and go over everything, which we don't really have time for that because it's already been almost half the show. But just, you know, like, you know, again, we understand this with other people. It's kind of hard to apply to ourselves. But a lot of people are going through this shift. You're far from the only one. In fact, most of the reads that I've done, you hear me repeating again and again and again, like, this is the time to work on yourself. This is the time to upgrade your energies. This is the time to go to the new level. Because it's really, really a very common theme, and it's a time period where everybody's supposed to be doing it. I mean, I've hit the books a lot harder, you know, the same as, like, what I'm telling everybody else, because you can have less things that you need to work out, but there's always going to be the next level, and this is the time period that there's always going to be the next level, and that's true for everybody, for, like, every single human. You can always take it to the next level. It's just when people are very thriving, they understand that, they understand it's part of the responsibility, so they keep going for it. When people have a lot of issues, sometimes it's like, well, it's not me, it's everybody else. It's like, okay, pumpkin. So the people who are in pain and suffering tend to think it's everybody else. The people who thrive in life and who have the best lives understand it's their self, and that's why they put the focus on making, on doing their work and doing the changes. You know, codependency, people kind of get very upset about that. They want to cry. They want to make it bad. They want to make it wrong. You know, everybody else is bad or mean for doing it. And the problem with that is when you get in a community where there's a lot of codependency, because people's codependency will be more likely to accept other people's codependency. And then you end up being on the receiving end of other people's energy where you try to fix things and you're wrong for saying that. You're wrong for asking, you know, how dare you, you know, you're a snob because, you know, you eat a healthy breakfast or whatever. And you end up getting bashed by it. And the bashing comes from codependency. People think it comes from, you know, interdependency. Oh, you've got all these things going for you. You must be a bad person. Ooh. You know, which is, other words, is saying, like, you figure out how to make your life work properly, you must be a bad person. You must be up to something sneaky. And people think that in codependency, even though when there's enough codependency, that's where a lot of the abuse comes from, which is really interesting. But people in codependency don't tend to correlate their abuse with their own behaviors or codependent behaviors. But people who are outside of codependency enough understand that, which is why they tend to stay away, because they don't want to go through the abuse. So it really is a choice. You know, people either get the help or they don't. You know, they either understand that it's, you know, their responsibility to fix their life. And a lot of those things really aren't that brutal. I mean, you know, I've used examples for coffee pots in the past. It's not fun if you forget to replace the last coffee pot in the office, if that's office policy, and somebody busts you on it. You know, that's not comfortable. But, you know, you have the choice to just replace the coffee pods, which is what an interdependent person does. Codependent person, it's not my fault. They twist it around. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else didn't tell them. Well, there's a sign right there. Did you notice the sign or not? No, because nobody told me. Well, you didn't notice the sign because you weren't aware of your surroundings. Okay. That's still your responsibility to learn how to figure out your surroundings. codependency doesn't understand that, and then they collapse themselves and everybody else is mean, wrong, and critical. Interdependency, oh yeah, it is my responsibility. Crap, I missed the sign. And it's not, you know, sometimes it burns a little bit, but you do get used to it. Not because you're always taking hits about it, because that would actually be more codependency. It would be just like, oh, I'm embarrassed, frig. You know, maybe you're embarrassed for the rest of the day. Okay, you get over it, pumpkin. And you do, and life goes on. And you replace the coffee pods, and you learned, you know, oh, wait, there's a sign. I didn't clue into the sign. Because sometimes you see the sign and you just don't even clue in. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Whoops. You know, put your hand up. If you've ever been there, I've certainly, you know, not coffee pods, but I've certainly not seen something that was right in front of my face and went, whoops. If you've ever searched in something for the cupboard, you know, and you didn't see it, and somebody else, even though you're willing, normally finds things in cupboards, but you missed it the one time, and somebody else is like, it's right here. You're like, crap, I missed it. It's the same thing, right? You just, it's just, there's a choice of how much people are going to make a big deal out of it. Interdependency, you're going to have those moments, but it doesn't mean you're going to hang out with people that are like, ooh, they're going to get you because you missed the coffee pods, or you missed the soy sauce in the cupboard. Ooh, they're going to get you. You're not perfect. They're going to prove it to you. Because that would be abusive, and that would be a codependency reaction where people are trying to make their lives better by not taking responsibility for their own lives and then taking it out on other people because they haven't done something. And they're trying to justify the fact that they haven't done something by talking to other, you know, trying to tear other people down, trying to make it seem like the other people haven't done it, which is why, you know, codependency, people get abandoned a lot or, you know, ignored, et cetera, because you're going to get, you know, basically whack, whack, whack. Even the people who do it, you're going to end up getting only receiving it at some point of being whack, whack, whacked because you had a normal human moment, you know. You didn't see the soy sauce right in front of your face in the cupboard, or you didn't see the sign on the wall and you just didn't clue in. You know, so way easier to do the work than it is to live in an environment where people are, you know, stalking you because you missed the soy sauce or something else. So just to be clear, you know, all those things, and you definitely have the capability, you know, everybody does on the planet to a very large degree. It's just somatic therapy would be really important. Visceral and neural manipulations would be very important because sometimes one modality, sometimes you need it worked on through a physical aspect. Sometimes you need it worked through emotional. Stuff like that, though, when you've got, like, those interesting things where you can't make those connections, I usually recommend somatic therapy over other modalities because it's not just you talking or you being verbally processed. That definitely has a place, and it's very beautiful when you don't have those specific physical issues that are coming into play. When you do have the physical issues that are coming into play, sometimes the things that need to be processed out through talking to handle the responses in the body, that would be somatic therapy. And again, you know, it doesn't have to be that big of a deal. It's really not. Some people really make it a big deal. But again, that's more the self-defense mechanisms of people who are lashing out and trying to justify, you know, again, it's codependency lashing out, right? It's way easier to just, you know, go, oh, wait, I got this problem. And you go in and you find somebody who understands it. And people who have a strong somatic background, they're, again, I can't speak for everybody, but especially if they've done training with Peter Levine, for example, or, you know, followed his work, they're more likely to be trained in that understanding. That is just a side effect of trauma. It's not, you know, ooh, that person. And that ooh, that person, you see sometimes like therapists, psychiatrists with those sorts of issues because they're not resolved, because they haven't resolved some of those issues within themselves, and because their modality may actually not even address it. So that's important to understand as well. So the people that do have the capability to understand that, again, human beings, so, you know, not always going to be non-judgmental, but the people that have that capability, have those capabilities because of the modality will usually understand it better. And that's why some of them don't have the same prejudices against it, you know, and that's what you're looking for. So thank you for, you know, writing in, and I'm sorry, I'm, you know, looking at that's a lot more than you bargained for, but it can really help you all out long-term and make your life a lot easier than it is now. So good luck with that, Lorena. Thank you so much. And we have Tracy in Chicago here. She wants to go wants to know if she can get a reading in the area of her love life. She's been single for many years and wondering if this is year that changes. Okay, let's check. Tracy in Chicago, 2023. Love. So one moment here. Tracy in Chicago. I just got to do a little cleansing, just changing energies here. So Tracy, say towards the end of the year that there's love that's coming in, and you know, I mean, that sounds so great. So like, woohoo, we've done it. But no. So what's going to happen is I get one person's going to be coming in, and that is, hold on here. So Tracy, again, many people are in this place where they're having to do their self-development. And again, you too, right? Because I see somebody coming in and I'm seeing this pattern of you've got somebody who's just kind of like standing there and there's not sort of the interaction that you're going to want. But, excuse me, because you have a really good tendency to be able to sort of like ignore what's going on or ignore what the reality is and be very happy. Because I mean, if Tracy's happy, everything's working great, right? Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, if you're happy, genuinely happy, you can still be genuinely happy. And while some things will not bother you, that's different than like glazing over and not noticing the reality of certain things that are happening that are going to say, like, that's really not going to be a good idea. So I do see somebody coming in, and you can, like, be Tracy. And, I mean, I like Tracy. Tracy's happy. You know, Tracy's got that beautiful spirit. And, you know, is there a benefit for people with that? You know, sometimes, you know, you've got some breathing room to make collections where you're not getting, you know, busted for every single thing, every single last moment for all of time. Like you get when some people, you know, there's a lot of codependency, and they're really trying to make sure that, you know, their safety comes from noticing every single thing you do wrong. So they're, you know, kind of stalking you, making sure and getting your case about, like, you know, you didn't notice the sign on the wall that said you replaced a coffee pod. So ooh, they're going to get you. You know, I mean, pretty intense. You know, and there are people who have that much hatred over every single last, like, really, like, actually very minute details that are just part of human experience. Yes. And again, those people have also been through experiences where, you know, they've had that done to them, and they think their safety is being able to notice, you know, what's going on with other people that's, you know, bad or wrong to a very minute extent. But you're not bad or wrong for not noticing that there's a sign on the wall that says, oh, you know, replace the last coffee pot at the office. You're not bad or wrong for doing that. That's more of an honest mistake. But in codependency, people take those honest mistakes and they kind of like, you know, use that as a cover for really bad behaviors, which is not the same thing. You know, it's an honest mistake, even though they deliberately did something because they're lying their butts off. Excuse me, that's not the same thing as an honest mistake. And so people, when they can't tell the difference because they've been told their whole lives it's the same thing, they tend to get very, you know, frazzled and hard done by. So when you have, you know, somebody's been exposed to that issue and the behaviors are not, you know, the best, but they're trying. Sometimes you get somebody with Tracy's energy coming in and, you know, they're not noticing, they're kind of glazing it over because they're, you know, very happy and not noticing things deliberately to get along, and they just have a strong practice of ignoring it. You know, sometimes the benefit of that is it can give people room to breathe when you've made a mistake or even a bigger bungle. They still love you anyways because it hasn't registered because they've got a strong habit of ignoring it. So there can be a very beautiful benefit to it. It's just it's not going to be, you know, the best coping mechanism overall long time, long term, because then that means that you've got people like Tracy sort of getting into situations where they're with somebody that's really not going to be most beneficial for them. And because, you know, Tracy's happy, she's not going to be noticing some of the things that are going wrong. So again, you know, there can be, I mean, people with that pattern can be very, very sweet people, You know, again, you can have some breathing room to self-correct if you're dealing with people who have self-correction. And I mean, everybody needs breathing room. And so the advanced practitioner can give that. People who glaze over can also give that as well, just for a different reason. It's just in, you know, interdependency, you're not getting hurt by it. whereas, you know, glazing it over, sometimes you can get in situations that aren't going to be the best. So, you know, so I'm getting like this guy who's really, he's not saying much, but he's just kind of like stiff as a board and kind of like outputting energy that's just really think of it as, and I'm not going to say like he's, think of it as like trapping a very large killer whale in a net, and it's just basically solid. Now, killer whales, what are they called? Killer whales, they eat seals. I mean, they have the ability to eat a seal. So, I mean, we're talking like really big. We're definitely talking about a carnivore, we're really talking about a predator. But because it's a whale, you know, we call it a whale. So like, you know, so we have these like little fuzzies in our heart, ignoring the fact, well, if you're a seal, that's not a seal, that's like a shark, right? A killer whale to a seal is like a shark to a human. Like, don't want to go there. which is why I say killer whale instead of shark. But, and I'm not going to say like, hold on here. How do I put this? So if you have a killer whale sort of like bound up in nets, you know, and it's like, it's getting loose and it's just solid as a board and it's just waiting. I'm not going to say that he's necessarily that bad. I just can't say that he's not. And again, a killer whale doesn't look bad, right? Like, oh, killer whales. They're like, I like killer whales. Okay, they eat seals. Well, everybody's got to eat. You know, I eat chicken. So, you know, same thing, right? People don't think of the chicken looking at them going, oh, massive predator, you're a shark. Because you're like, ooh, fried chicken. Yummy. but I mean, you know, it's really the same thing, right? So, but, it just seems like you're going to, that would be the possibility. He's this like white guy. He's, you know, not very tall. And it's just, it's not going to last that long. It'll be about like maybe a 2 or 3 year relationship at best. And it's going to be like Tracy really trying, and then Tracy really trying to hold on, and Tracy trying to make things better, as opposed to actually having somebody that you could have an interactive relationship with. And the fact that somebody's like, I know energetically that can be kind of hard, but if we saw somebody who's walking around stiff as a board and like the legs and arms aren't moving, you know, we could understand that you're not going to be able to get much out of that person in terms of interaction, emotionally, because it's a solid piece of wood, you know, and literally that's like what this guy looks like, is like stiff as a piece of wood, right? So you're not going to get those interactions out of him. But if people don't understand that, we understand a piece of wood couldn't put its arm around you, is not going to cuddle you the whole nine yards. But if you're dealing with a human being, because a human being has the capacity to do that, even when somebody's not, and when people have a habit of ignoring certain things that they shouldn't be ignoring, then they kind of like ignore those things, right? Like, oh, you know, he's not putting his arm around me. Oh, it's okay. You know, he's just a strong, silent type. Well, the strong, silent type can still be interactive and still can be emotionally healthy, but stiff as a board because a non-participatory is not the same thing as a strong, silent type. And so that would be really something to work on, because, you know, picking who you pick is a small piece of the puzzle, but it is important. And, you know, yes, everybody has problems or things to work out, but there's like things to work out, and then there's more extreme, that's really stuff to work out to a degree that's really not going to be beneficial for you to be in a relationship with. And so I could see you keep trying to make it work with that guy, because I mean, you know, if they're quote unquote not doing anything wrong because they're just not participating, well, quote unquote not doing anything wrong just because they're not, you know, throwing pots and pans out the window as an example, you can still like be doing things wrong by not participating. You know, we tend to understand that for a lot of things. If somebody was just sitting there slumped on a log and they're, you know, they come over, they're supposed to be cleaning your house, you're paying them $30 an hour, and they're just sitting there playing games on their phone and expect to be paid at the end of it, it's pretty easy for most people to say that's there's something that's not right with that. When people have enough codependency, they may feel guilty and pay the person anyways. if there's enough, as there's a huge amount of codependency and they really have a hard time holding a boundary and there's, you know, outward pressure, then somebody's putting pressure on them to hire them anyways because they're being a snob, so they hire the person again anyways. And, you know, really hardcore codependency. So outside of that, we understand those things aren't going to be good, but anybody doesn't, but some people don't understand that. And anybody who doesn't understand, and this happens genuinely, anybody who doesn't understand and actually can't get, and so we're saying actually can't get, anybody who actually can't understand why you would not, why you would choose to tell somebody after the first half hour of sitting there on their phone, telling them to get out, no, you're not paying them because they haven't done anything. Anybody who really has a hard time with that, that would be a really good time, or, you know, understands even less, would be a really good time to go talk to a therapist in that case about, you know, the massive amounts of, you know, like, why can't you do that again? You know, so if coaching is for skill set building, and there is skill set building that needs to come with, in with that, so somebody could come in for coaching for part of that. But the reason that I say therapist is because for some of those other things, there can be other aspects that need to be resolved first that may interfere with the people being able to be to do some of their other work. And so, you know, for romance, you know, romantic interests, I see that, you know, there are definitely single time periods that could be ahead. If you were to work that out, I mean, your energy very much changes. Codependency, you know, people are scared of, you know, that doesn't mean, it means you're not being nice. If you hold on a boundary, that doesn't make you nice. It makes you a more whole human being. And when people are very whole, you know, those are the people we tend to admire. When people are not whole in some areas, they tend to keep getting themselves in trouble. And so people with that pattern, you know, they, like your pattern, you know, they'll never say anything bad about anyone. They would just never, they, it's just not in them. And Dr. Gabor Mate actually correlated that pattern with, of, you know, constantly being people pleasers, never wanting to disappoint anybody, never saying a bad word, that ALS, that people with ALS across the board 100% of the time have that personality type, because what you're going through can cause that. Now, Tracy, I'm not saying that you have an ALS personality type or doomed for that by any means, but I am just saying, like, you know, we see the severe consequences of what happens when people don't do that. And while some people, there can definitely be sweetness to that, people with that personality trait can also end up losing a lot of situations that they want and need, because they'll keep collecting people that aren't good for them. Because they'll keep collecting people that aren't necessarily good for the tribe, or because, you know, you go hang out with them and then you find out, oh, that's the romantic partner, and the romantic partner is going to be so much freaking trouble, you're not going to want to be friends with them. So some people with that personality trait have been absolutely wonderful at having friends. They've had a great community. They keep ending up in relationships. And some of them end up very, very lonely because they get the people that they want end up going like, no, I don't want to, you know, get involved with that because I understand that, you know, the hammer's going to drop at any second. So you do have a right to take care of yourself, and it will put you in a better situation where more people are going to be more likely to come around, and they're going to be the people that you actually want. And from that perspective, you know, getting that worked out, all of a sudden I see all these people showing up, whereas before it was very solitary. And I'm not saying you don't have friends. I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, they weren't showing it to me, but all of a sudden it's like you get that problem fixed and all of a sudden there's all these people around Tracy. And, you know, Tracy learns how to, you know, hold a boundary. Tracy learns, you know, who are the good people for her to hang out with, who are not. And all of a sudden, I could see, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, it's not very clear. I see at least six people surrounding you, at least, whereas before there was zero. So, you know, and, you know, people you're going to want to be around. So just to be clear about that, you know, sometimes our greatest fear is that if we don't do something that's going to be harmful for us, we're going to lose resources, or we're going to lose people, or people aren't going to like us. That the people that are going to be more likely to demand that from you are the people that are going to be less likely to have things to offer to you, because they haven't worked out enough, which is why they need you to be that way. They need you to ignore all the bad behavioral patterns, because otherwise you wouldn't want to stick around. And some people are very much in reality of that. But that means that when you're giving that up in an unhealthy format, you're going to get the people that are going to have less likely to offer things to you. The people that are going to have things offered to you, to offer to you, are going to want you to be able to say no to bad people. Why? Because otherwise you're going to drag them into the tribe, or you're going to let them into the tribe. And, you know, maybe you might not know this. It may not be a big deal for you if you can really ignore it, but then but it leaves everybody else still having to deal with that problem. Some people with that personality type also go through multiple marriages. You know, they've been through 4 or 5 marriages or 6 or 8 marriages, you know, and they still believe in love. But the relationships keep not working out because they keep picking people based on ignoring all the warning signs. But, you know, and they'll say, like, oh, they're having this amazing love and it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful. But the relationships only last like 2 or 3 years. Right? Like it's, and that's very common. So there's a lot of people with that pattern who've only had relationships that last 2 or 3 years or a year or 10 months, even though the energy is nice. They're very likable people, but for some reason they just can't seem to get people to stick around. And that pattern of ignoring things that aren't good for them to ignore can be one of the contributing factors. So honey, I see you having a lot more success in life after getting that worked out. And before getting that worked out, I'm seeing the not good guy for you, you know, and not as in like horrible bad person, but sometimes things are a lot worse in person than in the readings. But I will tell you, it's definitely not something that I would want as an experience for you. You know, a lot of hostility, definitely not where you're at in your heart. And then I see a lot of blank spaces for like a few years after that. So working out the pattern really, really helps in terms of what you're going to be able to do and create in your life and have a community and have a good community and have a beneficial community for you. Okay, honey? So good luck with that. Please, you know, write back, call in sometime, you know, let us know how it goes. But yeah, honey, you don't have to worry about, you know, being a good person. Sometimes people, you know, they worry about that. They let it go and some other things come up and hit the fan. Yeah, and you just work those through too, right? It's just part of the process. Everybody's got flaws. Yeah, there's always the next level, always. So, you know, don't worry about that, honey. Just, you know, work it out and you'll have a lot more successful in life, and you'll be more likable and people will enjoy you more as a result. And when I say people will enjoy you, the people that are healthy enough to be able to offer you something will enjoy you more, and the predators will want to stay away. And not always, but you start to flip them off a little bit more because they learn that they can't get their way. So thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. We're at the top of the hour now. Again, my name is Elmaya Hoshyamtara. You can find me here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I can call in for readings. You can go to my website. That's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. Again, enlightenmentinthecity.com. You can go there, book your session. I do take international clients, so that's really wonderful. But you want to do the coaching. I do readings as well. Always happy to do the readings. But you really want the coaching. You want the coaching because that's what's going to help you break through the patterns and create the life you want and deserve. So thank you so much, everybody, for writing in and listening. And for my consistent listeners, hi, guys. always, or ladies, sorry. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in, like always. And again, I'll be back next week, 3 p.m. PST. I love you. So take care of yourselves. Back here at newsforthesoul.com. Come and see us again. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.